that woman, Pavan Dale, but he has transferred back to Mayo. And then behind him comes the left full back, Jabba Flanagan of Ballacandari. The halfbacks in the Mayo team, Purple, Cosmo, Ballinrobe, Ibrakui. Ibrashe, the centre back, James Nallon from Cosmo Line, the Deal Rovers. And as I mentioned earlier, the left halfback will be the captain, Old Connelly from Hollyman. The midfielders, Pat Fallon from Bally. His partner, midfield David Heaney from Swinford. The team's now toddling behind the band in front of the new stand as they go down along the far side of the ground here. David Heaney, the Swinford man, partnering Pat Fallon. To come to the half forwards on the right, the Fleetake of Morris Sheridan from Ball. The Lord Weed, number 11, Colin McManaman from Borisoul. And left half forward, number 12, John Casey of Charlestown. Right corner forward on the Mayo team, the Gospel Line, the D Rovers, Aaron MacDonald. The full forward, the 6'5" man from Ballinas, Stevenhouse, Liam McHale. And the left corner forward from Ballyhall is David Nestor. And he's the up the rear of the Mayo team. As we look across beyond them in front of the new stand, marching on the outside, the Kerry team, led by their captain, Dave Hassett from Down Rangers in Killarnon. Next comes the goalkeeper, Declan O'Keefe of Rathmore. Behind Declan, the right full-back, Killian Burns from Sneem. Full-back, Barry O'Shea of Kempton O'Mahony's, and left full-back from Listow Emmett, Stephen Stack. The teams have now got as far as the 50-yard line, down towards 10-16. Halfbacks of the Kerry team, Seamus Moynihan from Glenfleth. In the centre from Ballydonahue, Liam Flaherty, and on the left from Finnoon, Damon Breen. In Lord the posture for Kerry, even a hook, there's Dan O'Shea on left. His partner comes from Austin Stacks and Tralee, Willem Kirby. The half-forward on the right, another Austin Stacks man, Parley. In the centre, he's leading the team, the captain, Liam Hassidon, behind him all the way from Waterman, Dennis O'Dwyer. On to the full forward line, number 13, at right corner forward, the Kerry team, and the team swing around in front of him, 16, towards the railway goal, is Billy O'Shea of Loud Rangers. The full forward, Barretta O'Leary, Barra O'Canada, Imre Cahadir, and bringing up the rear for Kerry is their speechmaker, the man from St. Mary's and Cahad's, I mean, Morris Fitzgerald. The Altair boys band have made the turn in front of the Hogan stand. The breeze blowing down towards the railway goal. The match will start in about 2.5 minutes time or thereabouts time. Yes, as the Mayo team and now the Kerry team break away from behind the Arcane Boys band where they did the full circle of the field. Beginning on the 70-yard line, right in front of the tunnel, all the way down in front of the canal goal, up the far side of the team, across in front of the railway goal, and as far as the 50-yard line in front of the Hogan stand before they broke loose. The Kerry backs going back to take up their positions in front of the railway goal as the Kerry forwards go the other direction and all of them are there. They're in a very, very close huddle at the 50-yard line on the Hill 16 side of the ground. I haven't seen a huddle as close as this before. We're almost ready for the start of the 110th All-Ireland final here. And at this stage we could send greetings to people all over the world who are listening to this game. The band getting ready as the players go to take up their positions now, and we're getting ready for Aurora V and the Chahibarka Trophy in Mallorca in Ayrton at a normal shot.
and welcome to another edition of Ireland Calling, brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. Listen to us in Auckland on a Wednesday night, Kapiti Coast and Wellington on Sunday, Christchurch on Saturday night. Greetings to everybody listening around New Zealand and around the globe. We're going to have a big focus on the Ireland football finally coming up this weekend between Mayo and Kerry. We've got a special interview with a former Mayo footballer and manager who was actually born in New Zealand. James Horan joined us for a good discussion about the All-Ireland final. We'll play that in about 10, 15 minutes. But we opened up the programme tonight with the commentary of the great Micheál Murathaigh. That was from the 1997 All-Ireland football final between Mayo and Kerry, which sadly, Mayo won that one. Or sorry, Kerry won that one 13 points to 1-7. So in March this year, a powerful new initiative supporting people living with dementia in Ireland was launched using the voice of the great Micheál Murathaigh. And on a website called thereplay.ie, there are commentaries from all the games Micheál commentated on from 1985 till 2010 till he retired. And of course, Micheál synonymous with our coverage of the All-Ireland final here in New Zealand for over 20 years. I linked up with him to preview the hurling final when just beyond the first Sunday in September. And who will ever forget the time I linked up with Micheál in 1994 when the IRA announced a ceasefire literally minutes before Micheál linked up with us. I don't think there was mobile phones back then. In 94, we spoke to Micheál. He pulled into a hotel in Port Leash. And that was an amazing event to be able to Micheál break that news to us and preview that hurling final in 1994, which from memory was between Limerick and Offaly. And with about 5 minutes to go, Limerick were ahead by 7 points and they lost the game by seven. And that put Limerick back a long time. Well, Limerick are definitely back. As a Galway man, it took a while to get over the defeat at the weekend. Limerick too good. More about that later on. And indeed, all the news from Ireland. But let's get on tonight with the Saw Doctors and To Win Just Once.
To win just once would be enough for those who've lost in life for love, for those who've lost their guile and nerve, their innocence and their drive and verve, for those who feel they've been mistreated, discriminated, robbed or cheated, to claim one victory inspired. To win just once is their desire. To win just once. To win just once. To win just once. That would be enough. To win just once again. To race with speed along the track, break the tape and not look back, to never have considered losing, as if to win inspired choosing, very soul for all to find, an honest heart and an open mind, to win just one. The ball again.
Yes, well, what it would be great for Mayo to win just once. Their All-Ireland final again, the last time they won in 1951. And of course, with Mayo in the All-Ireland final, we remember all the Mayo people living here in New Zealand. And one man that did wear the Mayo jersey with pride in the late 40s, early 50s was the great Vincent McHale. And I know Vincent is up there looking down on his beloved Mayo as they prepare for the All-Ireland final this weekend. And of course, you can watch the game live on GAA Plus this weekend. Now, it wasn't a good weekend for Ireland in Eden Park last weekend. They were well beaten by the All Blacks, and they now have a break till November. And of course, the All Blacks head off on a big tour to South Africa in next week. So if you're a rugby fan, there's a special 32-page coloured glossy magazine free with pretty much all the papers this weekend. The Sunday Star Times on Sunday, Christchurch Press on Saturday, and Post in Wellington on Saturday, and the Waikato Times. So it's all you need in there about the All Blacks profiles, results of recent games. We're previewing all the NPC championships as well. So make sure you pick up your copy, free copy of the magazine, free with the papers this weekend. As I said, we have a big focus on the All-Ireland football final this weekend between Mayo and Kerry. And we've got a feature interview with James Horan coming up in a few minutes. Just a few facts. Kerry have won 14 All-Ireland since 1980 and lost 7. And Mayo have been in 11 finals and sadly won none. Of course, they were in the final as well in 89 and in 85, I think. But anyway, this could be Mayo's year, and you'll enjoy the interview coming up in a few minutes with James Horan. But let's take a man that's living in Mayo, and I'm sure there'll be great crack there over the next few days and next week if Mayo happen to win. Here is the Chieftains live from Matt Malloy's pub.
All set, everybody. For 1, 2, 3, 4.
You're listening to Ireland Polling, brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. We'll have a quick look at some of the news happening in Ireland. I see there was a man arrested as a result of a stabbing of a woman in Tramore in Waterford today. I see the, the weather is still good in Ireland. In fact, it's still very good in many parts of Ireland, although there's due to be a change coming in. Many great tributes played to the great Irish actor Brenda Fricker. Over the weekend, she died last week. Of course, she got an Academy Award for her part in My Left Foot, the story of Christy Brown. So fantastic tributes paid to her. And, I remember reading a brilliant interview with her with Tommy Tiernan. You can find on the RTE website, but she had no idea that she was going to win that match. She thought she went there. Daniel Day-Lewis was going to get the Oscar, and next thing they called her name, it was unbelievable. Right, well, David Clifford, he'll be a sensational, well, he is already a sensational star. We talk about him in an interview with James Horden, but a video clip of him has been viewed 38 million times in the last few weeks. He took a penalty against Dublin a few weeks ago. Dublin goalkeeper saved it, and the rebound bounced in front of David. And he put it into the net. So he's a superstar in football. Mayo will have to certainly keep a tight eye on him this weekend if they're to win their first All-Ireland final since 1951. All right, well, we're going to have the Saw Doctors now with the green and red of Mayo. And after that, you'll hear the interview with James Horden. And we're not forgetting about the Kerry people either. We'll follow that up with Daniel O'Donnell singing The Rose of Tralee. But here are the Saw Doctors and the green and red of Mayo, and then the interview with James Horne.
Oh, the green and red of Mayo, I can see it still. It's soft and craggy boglands, it's tall majestic hills, where the ocean kisses Ireland, the waves caress its shore. Oh, the feeling it came over me, stay forevermore, forevermore. From its rolling coastal waters, I can see Kilpatrick's Peak, where one Sunday
So, yeah, hope all good down there.
It is indeed. We'll talk about your connection with New Zealand later on. But Mayo are in the All-Ireland final again and up against Kerry. I'm looking at statistics here, James, since 1990. Kerry have won 14, lost 7. Mayo have been 11 finals with no win. The last win going back long before both of us were born, 1951. Tell me, this is going to be Mayo's year on Sunday.
Well, I think they have a very good chance. In a season and a year of very unpredictable results and very unpredictable performances from many teams, I think Mayo have a good shot as they've ever had. And just excitement is building here. It's funny, you know, 6 weeks ago when they played Roscommon in the Connacht Championship, where they were hammered at home by Roscommon. A lot of people, there was a lot of doom and gloom and people thought the season was over, but it's completely flipped on its head and we've ended up in an All-Ireland final, which some people find hard to believe. And it is hard to believe because of the sequence of results and how it went. But it's fallen nicely for a young Mayo team, with some really good quality players that are just new to the scene and new to everything. And we're hoping that they put on a really big performance at the weekend.
Well, we go back when Mayo last won it. You know, at that time, the whole structure of the All-Ireland finals were different. But here's a Mayo team going into the final this weekend. You said lost to Roscommon, then lost to Tyrone by a point, but still managed to get to the All-Ireland final. Are you a fan of this new system to get to All-Ireland finals?
It's very different, for sure. It's very different to when I was playing. You know, when I started playing, there was one game and you lost that. That was it. That was your championship season done. And then it went into a hybrid where there's a backdoor system and now we have, a different system again. I suppose it'll take a while for it to bed down. You know, there's some people still struggle with the outcome of you lose. You know, Kerry lost a couple of games as well and they're in Northern final and Mayo lost a couple of games, yet they're still there. So it'll take a while for it to bed down. But I tell you, Oliver, with the new rules that came in obviously recently and the change of format, we've probably had one of the best and most exciting and unpredictable championships that we've had in recent years. You know, there's a lot of, like, Louth, you know, Leinster champions last year, and there's a lot of different teams that are cropping up. You know, the new rules have given some counties a new lease of life with a two-pointer and the reward that can give teams that are willing to take significant risks. So I think it's promoted and developed a lot of different teams. And as a result, we've had a very good championship and an unpredictable one.
Well, looking at the Mayo team, James, a lot of them, I wouldn't know the names, but there's a lot of young guys as there was in the Galway hurling team on Sunday, but one or two young lads stand out. I think he's just done the leaving cert, Kobe McDonald. His father played with you. There's a young boy from Claremorris has come on recently, Dara Byrne, but these are good young guys that seem to have no fear.
Yeah, and look, I was lucky enough to be, you know, I was sort of in the background of the recent under-20, Mayo under-20 teams and got to work with Dara Byrne, who's right from a very young age has been an exceptional player, very good corner forward, very composed for a young guy, mature beyond his year. So he's been playing very well and scoring very heavy in the full forward line. So he's doing quite well. Kobe, yeah, played with Kieran, his dad, and obviously Kieran was involved in me with the last time I managed Mayo, so as a selector. So Kobe is playing very well. Terrific footballer and young fella. Obviously as soon as the championship is over, he's going out to the AFL. He's a contract signed to go out there. So we may only see him for another couple of games, but a brilliant athlete, and he's been lighting it up back here really in the last couple of games. So we're hoping that the young guys just go out and play. Don't think about things too much, and just go out and enjoy themselves and give a big performance.
And of course, the team led by another good friend of yours, recent player Andy Morden. Andy, just in, this is Andy's first year as manager.
Yeah, it's first year, and look, it's brilliant to get into an All-Ireland final. Andy, a lot of people know Andy, his character, he's a bubbly, positive type of character. You know, he'd given a lot of new guys, some of it by design, some of it by necessity, you know, with injuries, etc. Some new guys had thrown in there and they've done very well. Obviously, it's a positive environment around it, so they've done well and still has the support of some of the big experienced players. Aidan O'Shea, you know, going very well and been training. Killian O'Connor, you know, Paddy Durkin still there, Stephen Cohen. Obviously, some of these guys are still there, not in the starting capacity, but have a lot of experience to share and could do a job if brought on Sunday. So it's a nice mix, Oliver, of young guys that are very talented and fearless, and guys that have a lot of experience of the inter-county setup. So hopefully that just meshes well together. And as I said, we get that big game Sunday.
And of course, they're up against the Kerry team, full of stars. Kerry have such experience, you know, in Ireland is Clifford, he turns the tables in every game he plays, and they've got that history, haven't they, Kerry, of Gaelic football?
Yeah, look, David Clifford, he's your Dan Carter or whoever down there, he's the equivalent. He's a superstar at Gaelic football, and his scoring record, his achievements to date are phenomenal. He's very, very dangerous. Tall guy with great pace, great skills, and a real eye for goals. So he's a lethal mix, and will certainly take watching. But with Kerry's overall team is very strong. You know, they won the club championship with Dingle last year. They won the under-20 All-Ireland recently. You know, obviously last year's All-Ireland winners, and their school system is very good. So as a county, their whole structure and their coaching structure in particular is very, very strong. So the players that play for Kerry are all well balanced, well rounded, you know, both sided players, you know, that are good decision makers. So when you put that all together, and there's a strong will to play for Kerry, when you put that all together, they're very, very dangerous every single year they line up. So Mayo are for sure up against us, yeah, we're just looking forward to it and seeing how it goes.
The build up must be fantastic in Mayo. They've got the best supporters of any team in Ireland. You know, they follow the team. They're there. They bring the colour and excitement to All Ireland finals. And look at the crowd that turned up 2 weeks ago. Great excitement between Louth and Mayo. So the build up in Mayo must be fantastic this week, James.
Yeah, look, at the Louth game was great. That really, really kicked things off. It was, you know, it was a novel pairing in one way with Louth. You know, I think it's their first All Ireland semi final in 50 years or so. So there was huge excitement around the county up there. And Mayo West was. Our build was slow in that there was a lot of people, as I said earlier on, that didn't expect us to progress this year based on the common results. But in the, you know, since the Louth game, the build up has been amazing. There's excitement everywhere. You know, the flags, everything is out, and people are just genuinely looking forward to the game, to supporting the team, and really enjoying, you know, the All Ireland final weekend. So it's really building up nicely here. Like, you know, this week there's an awful lot of events and build up to the game that are happening down in Mayo, and that'll add to it a bit further. And then come Friday, Saturday morning, the mass movement to Dublin will take place. So look, at a lot to look forward to. And then there'll certainly be a huge Mayo crowd up there.
Going back to your own time playing, of course, you won an All Ireland, we'll say, semi final at the end of August. You didn't play the final till the end of September. There was nearly a month. So there's only kind of 2 weeks between that semi final against Louth and the final. Now, you played and you managed. Your experience as a player and then as a manager, which would you take?
Oh, player, hands down, yeah. Managing an All Ireland final is a nightmare. Managing full stop is a nightmare. You know, there's so many different things that you need to try and get right for a big game day, but there's nothing like playing and never will be, you know. Look, good memories of years of playing, and we had some great events and good times. Came up short in one or two of the bigger games when we had a right chance. But look, it's hugely important that players, you know, take it in, you know, not try and shun it or ignore it or whatever. You know, there's a lot of noise around it, there's a lot of fans around it, there's a lot of things said or whatever. But the main thing for a player is just whatever works for them to try and get them right, and so that they can give their best performance, you know, at 3:30 on Sunday. That's really what Andy and the management team will be will be trying to do. So get as many players to play at the top of the game as possible. So Andy and he's got Keith Higgins, obviously, and Cullen Boyle, and a lot of experience around them that have played in multiple All-Ireland finals. So they'll know the ins and outs of it, and they'll be sharing their knowledge and experience with particularly the younger guys. And as I said, we're hoping for a huge performance on Sunday.
Well, in talking to Joe Connolly last week, I was talking to him, and people down here can't understand that both hurlers and footballers, it's an amateur sport. You get a bit of expenses. And I listened to Marty Morrissey this morning talking to some of the Limerick guys after the success over Galway in the hotel. And they were saying to Marty, Marty, you think you know everything. You've never been out to watch us out in what do you call it, some of the villages in where they're rocking in Limerick in the middle of November in cold, wet nights when the training starts. So this is the reality. These guys give up a lot. I think I read once Aidan O'Shea was back working on a Tuesday after losing an All-Ireland final a couple of years ago. So a lot of sacrifices are made by both the players and indeed management.
I was back working on a Monday after that final, the last one in 21, and sure, but that's it, you know. It players train 5 days a week, really, you know, probably game a weekend between gym and pitch sessions and rehab and recovery, etc. And obviously their hydration, nutrition, and their sleeping patterns, everything is factored in. So professional players, you know, have that, but they have the environment right. You know, they don't have to get up and go to work and do a full day's work, etc. So it's tough going, but players and managers love it. It's something, it's a game we're passionate about. We're very lucky to be in a position to be able to represent your county or manage your county. So it's something that we were always very, very aware of. And it's just an honour to do it, you know. But it can be tough, Oliver, for sure. It can be tough and a lot of time involved with it. So you know, it needs to be something that you're passionate about. But when you get to the later stages of the championship, there's nowhere else you'd rather be as a young guy that loves playing football. A lot of excitement about it as we head to the weekend.
And of course, this weekend, the good thing the GAA do, they honour a team that has won an All-Ireland final 25 years ago. This year, they're honouring the Galway team that won in 2001. But a sad occasion as well with the tragic loss there of Paul Clancy a few weeks ago. But that'll be a nice moment to see the Galway players, and I'm sure Paul's son will take his place on Croke Park on Sunday.
Yeah, and look, I know Paul and know a few of the Mike Cullen guys, and look, he was a classy footballer and a classy guy as well. So a huge loss to the community and his family and thoughts with them. So it will be nice to, and I'm sure a lot of them will be thinking of Paul Sunday to recognise. So we had plenty of battles back in the day, but a terrific fella and a huge loss to everyone.
And for yourself, what's the plan for the weekend? Do you go up? There used to be the seven-a-side tournament when I was living in Dublin. It was a great event at Kilmacud right, Croke. Yeah. And my God, that's you right. Met so many people, and you know, it must be great to get up there and the hour before an All-Ireland final leading to Croke Park, meeting so many famous footballers and not so famous footballers.
Look, it's great. We'll head up with my crew. I've five kids here, so we'll all head up Saturday morning. I do a podcast with the Irish Examiner every week, so we're going to do one of those on Sunday morning, like a paper review, nice and early Sunday morning, and we'll meet up with a few crew then for a bit of lunch, and we'll walk into the game and really, really looking forward to it. Seeing what unfolds. As I said, it's so unpredictable. It's very difficult to know how it'll go. But I suppose what I do know is that Mayo prepared very, very well. They're a very pacey team, incredibly pacey team. Got a lot of youth and a lot of energy there. So we're hoping we'll be able to utilize that to the max. Really test
Gary. I'm sure pretty much every county in Ireland and I'm sure a few people in Kerry wouldn't begrudge Mayo a title, and I'm sure the excitement next week in Mayo, if they win, will be something to experience. Now, before we go, James, your New Zealand connection, tell us a small bit about the New Zealand connection.
Yeah, so my mother, obviously, an out-and-out Kiwi, Callanan maiden name, so Josephine Callanan. So my dad in the late 50s, I suppose, went out farming in New Zealand. You know, he was the middle middle son in a large family in the Western Ireland. So he packed up and headed off for a few years. So went over by boat and ended up straight down to Invercargill and spent, I think it was 4 years down in Invercargill milking cows at unearthly hours and doing that at several times a day. And then one night at a dance, my mother was a police officer in New Zealand. So they met up and, that was the start of it. So we'd a family of four. So we were all born out there and came back to Ireland mid-70s and set up all in the west of Ireland. I think my dad told my mother that they'd come back for a few years and see what it's like, but 50 or so years later still here. That's the New Zealand connection. And look, obviously I was glued to the game at the weekend in the Eden Park Club watching the All Blacks. Anytime they're here we go to see them, and Ryan Fox having an unbelievable finish in the British Open at the weekend as well. So there's a lot of New Zealand positive results at the weekend, so we'll always watch out for them and always keep a strong connection to New Zealand.
That's fantastic. Well, James, it's been fantastic to talk to you, and I just hope that it's a wonderful final. Sadly, Ireland final was just a non-event on Sunday. Limerick too strong, but let's hope that this final is fantastic.
The pale moon was rising above the green mountain. The sun was declining beneath the blue sea. When I strayed with my love to the pure crystal fountain that stands in the beautiful vale of Tralee. She was lovely and fair, like the rose of the summer. Yet 'twas not her beauty alone that won me. Oh no, 'twas the truth in her eyes ever dawning that made me love Mary, the Rose of Tralee. The cool shades of evening, their mantles were spreading when Mary, all smiling, sat listening to me. The moon through the valley her pale rays were shedding as I won the heart of the Rose of Tralee. She was lovely and fair, like the rose of the summer. Yet 'twas not her beauty alone that won me. Oh no, 'twas the truth in her eyes ever dawning that made me the Rose of Tralee, that made me love Mary, the Rose of Tralee.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with James Horan there. James, former player with the Mayo football team, went on to manager. And of course, as he mentioned at the end of the interview, him and his three siblings were born in New Zealand and headed back to Ireland for a few years in the mid-70s and never quite got back here. Who knows, if James had stayed here, he might have played rugby for the All Blacks. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, which was brought to you with the wonderful support of the Hugh Green Group. I hope wherever you're listening tonight, you're enjoying the programme. And just a reminder that you can watch the All-Ireland final this weekend on GAA+. You can get a subscription there just to watch the game on its own. And just to remind you, if you want to go back and listen to Micheál Muirchertach's commentaries on All-Ireland finals from 1985 until 2010, you can log on to a website called thereplay.ie. And it's a fantastic initiative that's been put together between RTE, the Muirchertach family, and the GAA in support of people with Alzheimer's. And I have a dog called Seamus, as some of you in Auckland know, Chocolate Labrador. He's getting old now. He's nearly 13, but for over 10 years, I've been visiting rest homes most weekends with Seamus, and we do visit people in rest homes in the Alzheimer's unit, and the therapy that a dog brings and music is fantastic. So well done to everybody involved with this initiative by the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland. And it's a brilliant. I got a link to this a few weeks ago, where Micheál, one of Micheál's sons, Cormac, lives in Singapore, where my son Fergus lives. And he sent him, and of course, when Micheál was commentating here for the 20 years, I broadcast the All-Ireland finals in the middle of the night here in New Zealand. Micheál always took time to say hello to people listening, and I got a couple of fuckle from time to time. And I had the privilege of meeting Micheál on many occasions and hosting him at a rugby game here at Eden Park in 2019, himself and his wife and two of his sons. Wonderful, wonderful man. And I'm sure as a proud Kerry man, Micheál wouldn't begrudge Mayo a victory this weekend. A long time, 1951 was the last time Mayo won. And the excitement would be unbelievable in the Mayo county and indeed in communities where Mayo people are all around the world if they manage to win this weekend. Well, in Knock, in County Mayo, there'll be people praying for Mayo's success. So let's have Daniel O'Donnell and Lady of Knock.
There were people of all ages gathered round the gable wall, poor and humble men and women, little children that you would call. We are gathered here before you, and our hearts are just the same, filled with joy at such a vision as we praise your name. Message is unspoken, but the truth in silence lies. So I gaze upon your vision, and the truth I try to find. Here I stand with John the teacher, and with Joseph at your side, and I see the Lamb of God on the altar glorified.
Daniel's getting value for his money tonight with two songs there. That song, Lady of Knock, and of course, Knock could be a place where there'll be plenty of devotion to Our Lady in the month of August. And of course, we did interview James Horden. I forgot to ask James if he was any relation in his family to Monsignor James Horden, who really put Mayo on the map, and Knock. And of course, Father Monsignor James was the man behind that the airport that he started off back in 86, I think the airport was opened. Right, I'm not avoiding it, but the All-Ireland Hurling final was very one-way traffic. And very rarely, it's not that I'd go back and watch a replay of a game, whether Galway won or Galway lost, but the All-Ireland Hurling final last weekend was just pretty much over, literally within 15 minutes. Limerick, too strong. They just scraped into the final with a last-minute win over Clare. Of course, Galway had a wonderful performance against Cork, and everybody expected it was going to be a Cork-Limerick final, but Limerick came through against Clare, and everybody knew, even Joe Connolly, we interviewed him last week, he predicted that Limerick would be too strong. We didn't think that the Galway team would be completely closed out of the game. If it wasn't for Aaron Nyland, their free take, who scored, I think, about 11 or 12 points, it would have been a lot worse, and the Galway goalkeeper made two brilliant saves in the first half, but the game was 129-118. Galway getting a penalty literally with the last puck of the game. But it was just a very disappointing finish for Galway. But Limerick now have probably etched their name in GAA history in Ireland as probably the best hurling team ever. Everybody said the Kilkenny hurling team that almost won five in a row were a fantastic team. But everybody's now talking about Limerick and whether the team will stick together. John Kiley has been involved for over 10 years with them now. So, you know, but yes, as I mentioned, that first time, 1994, we linked up with Micheál Offaly, Limerick. That was lost in 94, set back Limerick a long time. So Limerick now have won, I think, is it seven All-Irelands out of the last 10? So they'll be there for a while. Right, let's have another bit of music. This time is CMAT, When a Good Man Cries.
Goodbye. I got what I want, and it kicks it fly. You know what I'm like. You do.
You're welcome back. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And just to remind you that the All-Ireland football final between Kerry and Mayo takes place this weekend, half two of the early hours of Monday morning here. And if you haven't, get a subscription to GAA Plus, you can get up in the middle of the night and Google, get into RTE, and you can listen to the game there, or Midwest Radio will even be, the commentary will be equally as good there. Very parochial, or Radio Kerry. So a fantastic occasion, fantastic weather last weekend for the game, the hurling final, and I think it's probably going to be equally good weather this weekend. But I'm just looking at my time here. I think I might be soon running out of time after all the interviews we've had, the interview with James tonight and all the music. So let's have a quick look at some of the other headlines in the paper today. God, I'm not going to tell you about all the court cases that's going on. Cocaine and more than half positive roadside test last year. The other news last weekend, the Irish government had to sell that ship that they captured 4 years ago with a huge haul of cocaine. I think the haul of cocaine was worth over 400 million New Zealand dollars. And the ship, I think it was about 8 or 9 people on the crew that had been jailed, some of them up to 15 years. But the ship was sold the other day for €1 to a Middle Eastern country. It's going to be retrofitted or refitted. But over the last 4 years, it cost the Irish taxpayer £16 million between fees and maintenance, to keep it. So selling it, I would have thought, after it was seized a few years ago, when no owner decided to reclaim it or pay the money to the Irish government, they might have brought it out and sunk it. But no, it's sold. So obviously huge amount of drugs still getting into Ireland, and it's nearly everywhere now. And the same, we had the same issue down here. See, Michael O'Leary says the broken window on the recent Ryanair flight suggests a foreign object damage, and they announced their first quarter results the other day. They were down quite a bit, but overall their sales were up, but the cost of fuel has certainly impact and less people prevalent, but still one of the most successful airlines in the world. Mary Lou MacDonald said she's very positive about a recent meeting with the Taoiseach Simon Harris about the fact that there will be an opportunity for a referendum on a United Ireland before too long, although after looking at some of the developments that took place there in Northern Ireland over the last few weeks around the 12th of July, there'll be a lot of reconciling to be done for both communities will be ready to live with each other. So it's hard to see anything happening soon about a united Ireland. Of course, plenty of coverage on the World Cup final in Ireland over the weekend. And I see where they were given commentators rating them out of 10. And some of them on both ITV, BBC and RTE were given 1 and 2 or maybe 3 out of 10, but Roy Keane got 11 out of 10, not a man to hold back, and certainly a good pundit, and he was a good soccer player. I see he didn't watch that documentary or movie that was put together about him and the World Cup 2002, and neither did Mick McCarthy. And many tributes paid to the great Kevin Keegan. Of course, Irish football fans would be huge supporters of the Liverpool club where Keegan was. And then he moved to Newcastle as a manager, pretty young, 75, to pass away this week.